thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wiley here, my boy Ray G. What's going on, Ray?
What's up, brother? I voted today. I'm excited about it because I exercised my right to select those who I want in office and hopefully invoke some type of change in our community. But but otherwise, it's the summertime. My first show in a few weeks. I'm excited to be back. I'm still working hard, though.
Yo, what?
I'm just saying, I'm out here working hard, staying in the sun, too.
Staying in the sun. Something happened to my earbuds. I'm trying to hear you, and I can't hear you.
Staying in the sun for, you know, a lot of reasons. Exercise is one, and then just, you know, getting in the pool.
I haven't. Lounge. I'm exercising like a mug recently. You can hear me?
No, I can't hear you, but I never can hear you these days, so it doesn't matter.
Is there a problem? I feel like, I can't. I can hear my. Okay, there you go. Now we're good. Thank you. Okay, but I've been exercising a lot myself.
Well, I know. Ever since you thought you gained a bunch of weight.
I went to the doctor, real talk, and we'll still be here shortly. I don't know if I mentioned that, but I went to the doctor.
That scale might have been busted.
Huh?
That scale might have been busted.
No, it said I was like... No, the scale said I was about 237, like 237. So I recently weighed myself, so I got back down under 230, you know what I mean?
I remember that, and you were freaking out, but it's a scale at the hospital where I'm employed, and I'm like 7 pounds heavier there all the time than I am at home, so you can't always go by these scales, but, you know, maybe it was a good motivator for you.
I needed to, man, because I'm trying to be like my man Will T. Will T calls himself the what?
Black Thor, baby, Black Thor.
Yeah, maybe, somebody, man. Maybe you could have killed Thanos then, bro.
Huh? Maybe you could have killed Thanos.
Did you vote today, brother?
Huh?
Did you vote?
Of course I did.
Oh, Wally did not, I'm sure.
No, I didn't.
It's terrible.
Hey, Nigeria lost the World Cup. Like, they lost their... They're out. They're eliminated from the World Cup. So it's a hard day.
We knew that. I was telling
my... What do you mean we know that?
They beat Iceland. I mean, they...
Don't say we know that. Don't be arrogant about it.
No, if you watch...
Have you ever been to Nigeria?
I mean, I'm going soon.
Do you watch?
No, wait a minute.
That was not.
Let's
the
not
question.
Call out. Let's not do that.
Let's not do that. That was not the question.
Look, I plead the fifth.
Okay.
Right. You already said you haven't.
I did. Okay, I didn't.
And, not so many.
Touche.
But bruh, I was watching Denmark and France earlier, who played to a 0-0 tie. They go into the elimination round, and I was looking at just those two teams in comparison to teams like Nigeria and also all the Middle Eastern countries who look terrible. Russia kicked it off with a 5-0 win over Saudi Arabia. And I'm like, teams like Saudi Arabia, I think Iran is another one, and Nigeria, not fundamentally sound, man.
And I'm not talking to you. Will T, how will you do these things?
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
We'll have WNST Washington Capitals insider Ed Frankovic on the show to talk about the Caps re-signing defenseman John Carlson. At 8:20, we'll talk about the Wizards NBA draft selections, and also they made a trade, a big trade. They got Austin Rivers for Marcin Gortat. See, Will T got traded. Ernie's doing something.
That's terrible.
Troy Halliburton from Truth About It is scheduled to join us at 8:30. We'll talk about the struggles of Washington Nationals outfielder Bryce Harper. At 8:40, we'll discuss... No, I've been acting more positive. At 8:40, we'll discuss the rest of the NBA draft. Finally, at 8:50, for Redskins Talk, we'll talk about the potential of Jordan Reed and Alex Smith, the Alex Smith connection. But first, right now, we have WNXT Capitals insider Ed Frankovic on the line. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, Wally Ray, how you guys doing tonight?
What's happening? Thank you, Ed. I appreciate you mentioning me by first name. That was great.
My bad. I gotta make sure I get the names out. You know, I get going and I can't stop. But hey, everything's good. We're still the Stanley Cup champs, and we'll say that every time for a long time.
I know. More good news. Defenseman John Carlson resigned with the Caps, signing an 8-year deal worth $64 million. Your thoughts?
I think it was a deal they had to make. He is a stud defenseman, number one defenseman on the team, and I would say absolutely in the top 12 in the league, if not higher. He finished fifth in the Norris voting this year. He's just a guy that had they lost John, if he doesn't come back, they don't have a chance to repeat because you're just not going to find a defenseman like that out in the league. They would have had to trade some guys to get a player of that caliber back or anywhere close to that caliber. But it was a win-win for both because I know John really likes it here in this area. He's the only guy who lives here year-round. His wife is from the area, and he's from, you know, Jersey and Massachusetts originally, but John, for the last 6 years since he met his wife, has lived in this area, and he's having his Stanley Cup Day on July 4th, a charity event, so check that out if you can. And I just think he's irreplaceable. He's gotten so much better. When I talked to Nicholas Backstrom on breakdown day, the last day the team was all together here in town, he said John Carlson just keeps getting better and better, and that's impressive. So John could do a lot of things. He can play offense. He can play defense. He can move the puck. He can penalty kill, power play specialist. He just does it all. And I couldn't be more happy that they got him back. I think that was the right number. I think it was fair for both teams. But the big key was Brian McClellan making a big trade Friday night at the draft, moving Philip Grubauer and Brooks Orpik out for a draft choice. And, you know, Grubauer wanted to be a number one. He was not going to be a number one here because of Braden Holtby. So he gets to go to the other conference. And the Capitals were able to move Brooks Orpik's $5.5 million contract the last year, which McClellan never really wanted. He wanted to sign Orpik for four, but he wasn't going to get him for four. So he had to go that fifth. Now he's got himself out of it. And there's still a chance they could bring Brooks back because he's being bought out by Colorado and he becomes a free agent. July 1st, the Capitals could get him back on the cheap. So it looks like a really shrewd move by Brian McClellan as we get ready to go into free agency here.
Hey, Ed, you hit on some good points. I remember back in the Mike Green days, the knock on the Capitals was they lacked a real true defenseman like John Carlson and lacking what he brought to the table this season. But I just want to shift gears a little bit, go into the Urban Sports Scene rumor mill and ask a two-part question. Smith Pelley, it looks like he's going to walk, right? Capitals not going to re-sign him. According to what I've heard, the media kind of set him up by asking him the question about would you go to the White House if you guys win the Stanley Cup. They felt like that was a deal breaker right away for Taylor Jones. Just didn't want to bring him back for that reason. And also, there's a rumor that he might be going to sign with New York, the New York Islanders, with Trassey.
Well, I can tell you right now, the White House thing had nothing to do with it. So whoever's saying that is just, you know, trying to get clicks and spins.
Awesome.
I can tell you that they do want to try and bring him back. And the reason they didn't qualify offer him was because, remember, Smith probably only made $65K last year.
Yeah.
So if they qualify offer him, and they did this with Brett Connolly last season, they chose not to qualify offer Brett Connolly because they brought him in for $800. His qualifying offer would have been $880. They knew that then he could go to arbitration and they could lose big time in the negotiation. So what McClellan did was he didn't pick up the offer. Qualifying offer on Brett Connolly, and then negotiated a 2-year deal for $1.5 million a year for $3 million. So they have already said that they didn't, the Capitals have come out and said they're negotiating with Devontae. They want to bring him back. The bigger risk here, guys, is there's a bigger market for Devontae right now because of the great playoffs he had, where Connolly was coming off the rough playoffs last season. So there's other teams that want him. And the other thing is the Capitals don't want to overpay him for being, you know, he's basically a fourth line guy, but he can go up the lineup. I mean, he's going to play next to the fourth line center, but he's a guy who can penalty kill. He can move up. Like when Wilson was suspended, he moved up to the top line. They are still very interested in him. So I wouldn't buy into any of that, guys. I stay away from that politics crap because, you know, you're going to polarize somebody on the other side. And to be honest, for the Ted Leone, just I don't know his political stance, but I don't think he would be one of those guys that would be against somebody coming out and speaking what they feel. I mean, even his teammates said that, you know, it's a team decision, and so I don't think that's a factor at all. The bottom line is it's about money and it's a business, and the Capitals knew that if they only gave him a 10% qualifying offer, he could go to the arbitration, get a really nice number. And the Capitals may have to walk away from it, whereas Matt feels he could try and do a better deal just negotiating with him directly. Now, the problem is, like I said, there's other teams involved that want him too.
I appreciate you clearing that up. I kind of set you up for that because I wanted to clear that rumor up for the guys I was having this discussion with.
That rumor is bogus, man. That is that's not worth the paper it's printed on.
So what about the second part? Is the Islanders a realistic destination, just in your opinion?
What was the second part again?
Are the Islanders an option for Smith Pelley?
Sure. I think there's a lot of teams that are an option for Smith Pelly. There's probably 15, 20 teams that will have interest in him. And, again, it's up to Devontae. Does he want to chase money? Does he want to come back to a situation he likes? I think the Capitals will probably give him a fair offer, especially they have salary cap room. So he seemed to indicate on breakdown day that he liked it here and he liked, you know, trying to make multiple year home here. He didn't have the best regular season. He had seven goals in only 75 games, but he had seven goals in the playoffs. And when you look at his stats, and I actually tweeted this, he's only got like 40 goals in 358 regular season games. But then you look at his playoff numbers, and it's like 17 and 40 or something. It's 13 and 48 or something like that. It's very good numbers. And actually, when the Capitals signed him last July 1st, we had the call with Mac to talk about the lineup changes. And one of the things I pointed out, I says, hey, you know, I watched Smith Pelly 4 years ago when he played with Anaheim, and he really had a good playoffs. Is that something that attracted you to him? He said, absolutely. So they know what he can do. They know he's the guy. He reminds me a lot of Joel Ward, that when the chips are down, when it's a tight game, checking, and there's a lot of contact, and you got to go to the net to score, he's the kind of guy that's going to thrive. So I would say, guys, it's 50-50. He comes back. But the 50 is not because the Capitals don't want it. It was because Devontae got some offer he couldn't walk away from.
Of course, when you win a championship, obviously your market goes up. Same for Jay Beagle. He's a guy that's been a long tenured Capital. Where are the chances of the Capitals bringing him back?
Well, I know they want to bring him back, and when we talked to Beagle before he left, I actually talked to him. I said, what's your plans? He said, well, I'm willing to wait and see what Max says, because I know there's a bunch of big guys in front of me, meaning like Carlson and Michael Kempe, and of course Tom Wilson, but Wilson's restricted. But Beagle said, he'd be willing to wait and come back. And then I said, well, what if somebody throws some money at you here? He says, well, then I got to do what's best for my family, right? Again, it's the business aspect. There's reports that Vancouver wants to throw some money at him. So I think the Capitals now have the room to bring him back based on this Orpik Grubauer trade, which really, really helped them clear the deck, because the salary cap number came in at 79.5, and they were really kind of hoping to come in more like 82. But again, I think they could probably, I know Beagle likes it here. I know he's tight with Carlson. He's tight with Colpe because they played together in Hershey. All the players love Beagle. The organization loves Beagle because he's just a hard worker. But again, he could get paid somewhere. I mean, Barry Trotz loves him. The Islanders may come after him. So, again, this is the business time. I think they'd all like to come back, but they also realize that this is their livelihood and they got to get paid.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Right now we have WNST Caps Insider Ed Frankovic on the line. So, Ed, Ray mentioned Mike Green. What's the difference between like a Mike Green and John Carlson?
Well, I think one of Mike's biggest issues over the years was he got hurt quite a bit and had some shoulder issues. Mike was always a very good skater. Mike had a really good shot early in his career, but I think his shoulder injuries took away from that. But Mike's big weakness was always playing away from the puck and playing in his own zone. And I think that's something that John Carlson does a lot better. And I think Mike was fantastic on the power play. If you polled the guys on the Caps, they would tell you Mike Green was a better first power play guy than John Carlson. But John Carlson's not far behind him there. But where Carlson distances himself from Green is he can kill penalties. Mm-hmm. He can play defense. He's just bigger. He's more physical. That's the advantage from a John Carlson and Mike Green. I was a big Mike Green fan, but I think the injuries over the year caught up with Mike. Maybe wasn't in the best shape of his career early on. Conditioning was a bit of an issue early on, you've heard Nick Backstrom say, finally we play, we party. There's no doubt when these guys were younger, they were out on the town, out in Georgetown, yeah, having the fun. And the conditioning struggled, and that's one of the reasons they brought Trotz and Brooks Orpik and Matt Niskanen then here to change the culture. So I think if the culture had been a little different, Mike may have been a little better player two ways, but Mike got paid. Mike got a lot of money. So he's a good guy. He's a good player, but I think John Carlson is more of a better two-way player. Doesn't have as much upside offensively, although he put up some serious points this year. But when you factor the whole complete game, John Carlson is a better hockey player.
Hey, Ed, for years, obviously a lot of fans and just those who study and follow the game of hockey were saying that the Capitals were cursed, couldn't get over the hump, couldn't beat the Penguins. They obviously achieved all their goals this year. And then Bryce Harper wears a Golden Knights jersey to one game, and now he can't hit. You think the curse has now been passed on to Bryce Harper?
Yeah, I mean, careful what you do in the city, right? They'll turn on you fast. And, Harper's a Vegas guy, but I'm sure Max Scherzer's giving him the needle every day in that box. And I know Scherzer pitched another gem. I mean, you can't put any of this on Scherzer or the pitching staff. They're just not hitting right now. I don't follow baseball as closely as I do hockey, obviously. Mm-hmm. I am a baseball fan, but I got to think this whole what's going to happen situation has got to be weighing on Harper, right? Isn't he a free agent after this season?
Yeah, he's a free agent after this year. Obviously, there's a lot of money for Bryce on the table if he has like an upright year. So I think that he's thinking about, you know, the money he can make. That's my opinion. Not to say it's correct, but because baseball is such a hard sport to play regardless. But I think he's putting some pressure on himself.
I absolutely agree with that. Some guys handle pressure well and some don't. I mean, you look at John Carlson, the year he had in his contract year. You look at the year TJ Oshie had the year before. These guys went into contract years and they didn't let the pressure affect them, and they actually thrived in it. Mm-hmm. So I haven't been following the Orioles up here
much, but
I believe Manny Machado is hitting the ball pretty well.
He's hitting great, and he's going to leave Baltimore. He's not even an Oriole anymore.
I would agree with that, and it starts at the top with the Orioles, and they have nobody to blame for themselves if he walks. So I think the Nationals have tried. But Harper's going to do what Harper's going to do. And, and I know he had a chance to be the man in this town, but he won't. Alex Ovechkin's the man in this town now.
Undisputed,
right?
That's the no he is. You know, Ovi's the dude
Alex
right
Smith,
now.
Not Alex Smith, but Alex Ovechkin.
Alex Ovechkin is the dude right now. So, hey, before we let you go, let folks know how to check out your content and also how to get at you on social media.
Yeah, on social media, hit me at Ed Frankovic on Twitter. It's all caps all the time. I appreciate the retweets from you guys. That's all I talk about. I don't talk about anything else but hockey. Ed at WNSQ.net if you want to shoot me an email by one of my Gmail accounts. And obviously, I'm a regular here on the Urban Sports Scene. So keep
listening
to the Urban Sports Scene.
My man. Sir. Thanks, Ed. I appreciate you, Ed.
Hey, anytime, Wally. Anytime, Ray. You guys have a good one. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, maybe this week we get a Michael Kempney signing. July 1st is start of free agency. We'll get a pretty good idea next week of where we are with the final roster. So if you guys want to chat, hit me up.
All right. Thanks, Ed. We will. We'll do.
All right. Take care, guys.
Take care. Again, that is Ed Frankovic from WNST.
I want to make a motion to have Ed on all the time. Forget Ryan from Nats GM. You see, I got somebody on my side. That's what I'm talking about.
He got love for Ray, man.
Absolutely.
I just want to make a correction. Yeah, it's the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Wally, and Ray. Wally and Ray.
Only because Ray took part in the segment.
What is the Nats record against the Orioles this year? Because I'm just saying.
The Orioles only beat the Nats once.
Head to head.
Once. They only beat the Nats once this year.
I know. But I mention it only because it was never a rivalry. We all know that. But Wally would throw some slide comments on social media. He wouldn't say it on the show. But
what are you talking about?
Like the Orioles own the Nats and all this other stuff.
See, you guys always take the questions when Ed is on.
What are you talking about? Dude, you out there chilling on the phone, just chilling.
Will T,
just chilling, bro.
You lost. The Capitals won and you lost. I think you actually were a contributor to them winning because after you made that challenge, it was like they just started surging. It was like, all right, we're not talking about hockey too much more if the Capitals
on our when we texted them.
And they were down 0-2 first round when he said
that. Yeah, man, that was amazing.
Now look at the Capitals. DC's a title town. Thank you, Will.
No problem. That's what I do.
The Washington Wizards drafted Troy Brown Jr. with the 15th pick. Also, like I mentioned before, big trade. Austin Rivers will now be coming to DC.
Wouldn't call it a big trade.
It's a big trade. We'll have
it's a trade.
It's a trade. We'll have Troy Halliburton from Truth About It. He'll join us to discuss it after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
supposed to heal yet. I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be. We were younger and free. I remember how it felt before the world fell out of me. There's no difference between us.
Yon Vesely.
You're listening to
we're hiring Yon Vesely.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here with Will T. Ray. Check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. They have a great podcast. We've had a competition with them for over the last couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say anything.
We were actually on their show recently for the first time to talk NFL draft. It actually was pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, y'all
won. I knew this dude was going to do this.
Oskins everything.
Oskins everything.
Yeah, it was Oscar's everything. That's why.
All right, you know what? Let's not keep our guests waiting. Right now, we have Wizards reporter Troy Halliburton from Truth About It. What's going on, Troy?
Everybody want to
share. What's going on, Wally, man? How you doing today?
Good, man. But right, we usually I'm on it. It's just me on the show. We got Ray. We have Will on the show, too, as well. So, y'all say what's up to Troy.
What's going on, Troy?
No, when I talk to him.
Oh, so this is another show you on. So
I'm saying when you guys are out.
I'm just asking.
Here when Troy was supposed to make his first appearance, but Wally couldn't get the equipment to work that day.
That's real talk.
Does Troy have a show?
No, Troy is a writer for Truth About It, bro.
Okay.
Dang, Will.
I'm just trying to figure things out.
Hey,
man,
Troy.
We met in person.
let's get right into it, man. The show was supposed to be talk about the draft, but I want to talk about the trade that just went down.
I mean, this is the hot news of the day.
Exactly. It is. This is what we got to do.
Hot news.
Gortat is gone.
That's what better lead in than that.
Yeah, exactly. So Gortat's gone. He got traded for Austin Rivers. This is reported by ESPN. Your thoughts about it?
I mean, looking at it from initial perspective, I like the deal because number one, I mean, I think that we can all say that the relationship between Marcin Gortat and John Wall had become so toxic that, you know, I mean, a lot of you got all this stuff blown out to the media and it just wasn't a good look for anybody. And I think that relationship had come to a head. So no matter what, Gortat needed to be moved. So this is one of those situations where it's addition by subtraction by simply removing him from the situation. Now, getting back Austin Rivers, you know, that I'm not really sold on him as a player. I just tweeted earlier, I don't think he's good nor bad. You know, he doesn't really move the needle at all. But I think that Ernie is on this kick where he's trying to get these positionless basketball players. and Austin Rivers fits that.
That's what he said. And the thing is, he's trying to beat the Warriors. I mean, we'll talk more later and when we talk the draft picks. But, Troy, I heard that the Capitals winning a title makes the Ernie situation that more difficult for us fans who want to see Ernie gone, because now Ted is under the impression that if you just stay the course like he did with Ovechkin, that eventually you will win versus making these drastic changes. So that means more Ernie for a much longer period than we would all like. What you think, man?
I mean, I think that that has been Ted's approach regardless of the Capitals winning the Stanley Cup. I mean, you know, Ernie's been in his position for 15 years now, and, you know, they keep giving him secret contract extension after secret contract extension. So, I mean, he got his contract extension in January of last year. So I don't think the Capitals winning the Stanley Cup had any effect on it. I mean, Ted wasn't firing Ernie regardless of what happened. So, you know, that's his guy.
That's crazy. I agree with you, but I'm guessing that the Capitals winning again, I think it just adds fuel to the fire. It definitely
does add fuel to the fire. Gotcha. The fire that was already burning.
There you go.
And you know, here we go with Ernie Grunfeld trying to put out some more fires that he created. You know, once again.
So Troy, we were all hanging out last week and we saw the pick when the Wizards selected Troy Brown Jr. out of Oregon with a 15th pick. Tell our listeners your thoughts initially.
My thoughts initially, you know, I wasn't really sold on the pick. But the thing is, the player that I wanted had got drafted two spots before. Actually, by the Clippers, I wanted Jerome Robinson, out of Boston College, yeah. you know, sweet shooting guard who can come in and, you know, kind of make things happen, you know, a little bit earlier. Troy Brown is going to be a developmental player. But, I mean, we're talking about a kid who was a McDonald's All-American 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, he starred at Oregon last year, even though his team wasn't that good because they lost a lot of veteran players who were on the Oregon Final Four team mm-hmm. from 2 years ago. So he basically came in as a freshman, you know, taking over the program. And, you know, he definitely struggled a little bit in that role. But when he comes to the Wizards, you know, he's not going to be asked to shoulder, you know, a low and be taking bad shots. He's going to be, you know, told to get in line and fall in behind, you know, Porter and Oubre, and now I guess Austin Rivers in that wing rotation.
Troy, I hope Porter's gone. I hope Kawhi will be a Wizard, and I hope Otto will be part of that package. But Jerome Robinson, go ahead.
No, I will say this. I got the inkling yesterday. I actually got a chance to go to the Troy Brown press conference when they announced him as a Wizard, and Ernie Grunfeld was there, and he spoke to a group of media members yesterday. And I got the feeling, I was tweeting this yesterday, that I got the feeling that Ernie had something up his sleeve. Just the way that he was answering the questions, that people were asking him very direct questions, and he was, you know, he was maneuvering around them, you know, kind of almost unnecessarily. And that kind of tipped his hand a little bit, that made me think that, you know, that he had a move up his sleeve. And lo and behold, the very next day, you know, he makes a move. So, you know, and I mean, like I said, the Austin Rivers thing, him coming in, you know, that probably will affect Troy Brown's minutes and his development for the first year. But Rivers is on an expiring deal. So at the very least, you know, this is just a stopgap player, okay. you know, for the Wizards.
That makes sense. I agree with all that, and especially just getting rid of Gortat was the most important thing. But Jerome Robinson, who you mentioned, he's the reason in part that Rivers probably got traded, because they want to create some minutes for him in L.A. But you mentioned the word positionless. This is what Ernie said in his press conference on draft night. What I don't get is, why are you trying to, in my, I guess, point of view, why are you trying to prepare for the Warriors when you can't even get out of your own conference?
Well, I honestly believe that the way that the basketball is not just the Warriors. You can look at a team like the Toronto Raptors. You know, they play a style of basketball that was similar to the Wizards in years past, and they made a complete almost 180 as a franchise and played that pace and space movement. And you can see how they grew as a team, how their players developed faster. So I don't think that him trying to emulate the Warriors, you know, he's trying to put his team in the best possible position for them to be able to compete with the teams that are playing at this level. And honestly, when you look at the way that the Wizards roster was constructed, when you have, you know, damn near $40 million tied up and centers who none of them could actually even be on the court in a game, when you have, you know, four or five, shooting guards and small forwards out there, running pick and rolls all day, and the big man, they just running pick and rolls to get the big man into that situation to make him look silly. So, I mean, I think that this allows, I'm not saying that, you know, they're trying to emulate the Warriors, but I just think that they're evolving and with the times as far as what the style of play is around the whole NBA.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Right now we have Troy Halliburton from Truth About It.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The Raptors, though, they made changes, and it resulted in yet another sweep. So depending on what LeBron does, I guess we'll see how far this style of play change takes the team. Boston and Philly obviously are teams that you're looking at. You also got to get past now. So John Wall made a request as to what he wanted, what he felt like the team was lacking. The Wizards didn't go that way. Obviously, Ernie Grunfeld, we already talked about him. And then you see the 27th pick, which was the Celtics. They took the guy most people thought the Wizards should draft, and Robert Williams out of Texas A&M. He would have been what I was looking for. And Danny Ainge said it, I think, in maybe a subliminal shot. He said, I was surprised he was still here. I thought he was going to be taking 10 picks earlier. So I'm thinking the Wizards made a mistake in passing on him. What do you think?
I don't think that the Wizards made a mistake. I was never really a big Robert Williams fan. I stated this last week at the draft party while literally everyone else in the room said that they should have taken Robert Williams. You know, I got a chance to go to the workout and see Robert Williams work out. I mean, he's listed at 6'9". I mean, I can tell you this right now. He's not close to 6'9". He's about like 6'6", you know, and being able to play center in the NBA at that height, like that, I honestly didn't see it. Like, I don't think that he had enough skill surrounding his ability to be able to run and dunk that would have afforded for him to be a pick on the outside of the lottery. So, and I think that a lot of other teams, when they evaluated it, they thought the same exact thing. So, you know, the Wizards, there are 26 other teams that passed on him besides the Wizards. So, you know, I honestly, he could turn out to be a good player, you know, but I don't think that for the value of where they picked him, I don't think that was a good pick.
Great stuff. Hey, Troy, thanks for joining us. Hey, before we let you go, Troy, can you let the folks know where they can get your content and also how they can catch you on social media?
Okay, you can get my content right for truthaboutit.net. You can find me on social media at Troy Halliburton, TROYHALIBUR. I post a lot of my articles there. I post a lot of takes on the Wizards, NBA basketball in general, rap beef. anything, all things related to the culture, you know. So go ahead, give me a follow there. I'm about to crunch out some articles right now on this Gortat Austin Rivers trade. Trying to crunch some numbers and see if this is actually a good move for the team.
And are you gonna have any other happy hour get-togethers for DC Wizards bloggers and podcasters?
Yeah, I mean, well, since we got such a positive response from the last event. I was thinking about maybe doing something for the NBA Summer League, okay. You know, depending on if they are able to, you know, come out there and have a good showing in Summer League. Maybe they might make the playoffs. We might have an outing for one of those.
Right. Sounds like a plan to me, my man. Well, thanks again, my man. You know,
yeah,
I'm here too.
I appreciate you for coming out, Wally. Like I said, I always support the urban sports team, man. So, you know, you're my guy. You know, anytime you need me on to talk, man, I love coming on. I love listening to your show. I love what y'all are doing.
All right, appreciate you, Troy. You know that, man. Appreciate you.
All right, man. No problem, man.
All right, man. Again, that is Troy Halliburton from Truth About It. He's a Washington Wizards reporter, and he talks all basketball. Cool guy. You get enough out of it, Ray?
Subliminal shot at me just now.
What? It
was very. What'd you say?
What? Who took a subliminal shot at you?
Oh, I thought you did.
No, I did. I would never do that. Anyway, it's time to go to break. We're gonna talk about what's going on with Bryce Harper. He's struggling right now. No, we're gonna go back and forth because it's local, and plus I set it up a little bit with terms of promoting it. That's the only reason why. All right. You're listening to Terrible Sports Day
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Big pimpin', baby. That's right. Big pimpin', spinning cheese. G G G G G. You know I thug them, hug them, love them, leave them, but I don't trust or need them. Take them out the hood, keep them looking good, with diamond cuts gonna freeze them. First time they fuss, I'm breezing, talk about what's the reasons. I'm a pimpin' every sense in the word, mama, better trust and believe them. In the cup where I keep them, till I need the word, till I need to beat it up, then it's BB, then I'm picking them up, then I play with it quick in the truck. Many chicks wanna put jigger piston cuffs, divorce them and split his bucks, just because you got good sex, I'ma break bread so you could be living it up. I pass with nothing, y'all be frontin', me give my heart to a woman. Not for nothing, never happen, I'll be forever mackin'. Hard codes and assassins, I got no passion, I got no patience, and I hate waiting. Mommy, get your ass in here, let's ride. Check them out now. Let's ride. Check them out now. We doing. Spending cheese, check them out now. Big pimpin' on BLADs. We doin' big pimpin' up in NYC. It's just that jigger man, Pimp C and B-U-M-B. Yo, yo, yo. Big pimpin', spending cheese. We doin' big pimpin' on BLADs. We doin' big pimpin' up in NYC.
You listen to the Urban Sports Scene, myself, Wally, Will T. Ray. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. All right, right now, it seems like Bryce Harper is struggling. His average was yesterday was 217. I'm not sure what it is today.
He had a double today.
Good, good, good. It's up. It should be up. Do you think, and we mentioned it a little bit with Ed, do you think his upcoming payday, he's pressing because of that?
No, I don't think the upcoming payday is the full reason mm-hmm. why he isn't performing in a batter's box. If you notice, last year he pressed a little, especially when people were pitching him down and away.
Mm-hmm.
He would take a lot of swings at those pitches just to try to put the ball in play. He's getting a lot of those looks this year. That's something that he's struggling with, hitting pitches that are placed down and away. And also, his power numbers aren't too far off.
Yeah, he still has 19 homers, right?
Yeah, from what we've seen historically from him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he doesn't have, because he's hitting earlier in the, earlier in the lineup. I think he's been hitting second for the last week mm-hmm. and a half, and something to kind of spark him and to get his last time when David Martinez did that, it had great results for Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
But he's not getting a lot of RBI opportunities, and he looks like he's trying to press too hard to make an impact on his team and, put the ball in play.
No, I think I'm with you. I think, I would like to see him in more of a consistent, he's hitting too consistently nowadays, right? But beforehand, he was moved to lead off at times, right?
Yeah, he's been hitting two pretty much for the majority of the season.
I think it's natural to press a little bit. I mean, we're talking about how many millions were people talking about initially? Like 500 was one?
Yeah, some people were saying like 400 million.
Yeah, exactly.
300
so,
million.
I think initially, obviously when you're a superstar like Bryce Harper, because he's a talented kid. It's like he's one of the best baseball players, period. You want to pull on the show, especially in your contract year. We hear it all the time. It's your contract year. This is the time to make more money. But like you said, Will T, it's not like he's struggling in all aspects, right? He's just struggling in terms of batting average. He still has the same power. To me, RBIs are all about opportunities at times. So when you hit at the second spot, it's not like you're hitting cleanup. You know what I mean? So if you're hitting cleanup, you get more RBI opportunities because you're going to have the leadoff guy probably get on base. You're going to have the second guy, if he's hitting well, like a Rendon. Say Rendon was at the two spot, he's getting on base. Now that gives Bryce Harper more opportunities for RBIs. So,
And also, there hasn't been a lot of protection for Bryce Harper in the lineup also. Coming into the season, if you told people that Bryce Harper would be hitting two, then most likely you would think Anthony Rendon will be hitting three,
mm-hmm.
Daniel Murphy will hit four, and then Ryan Zimmerman will be hitting five. So you would think it would be a stacked lineup. You would think that he would have protection in the lineup, which is something he hasn't had this season.
So I guess this is my main question. Since he's struggling, do you think that helps the Nationals in terms of signing him, signability?
I don't want to say yes, because Scott Boras is his agent, and Scott Boras always seems to pull an ace out of his hat at the last second to get a team that no one thought would be a viable candidate for Bryce Harper to get them into the bidding.
Mm-hmm.
But if Bryce Harper continues with his struggles, then that means that the price would come down on Bryce Harper, which would mean there would be more bidders in the race for Bryce Harper.
I think it's all, when we look at, and we're going to probably get to this a little bit later down the road, but in terms of, what Bryce Harper is going to command on the market, obviously you knock down a couple, let's say 50 million comes down off that number, or say even 100 million comes down off that number if he's struggling, and the ability of Bryce Harper. Like, we all know the ability of Bryce Harper. We know that when it comes to baseball, it's all about averages, and who you are on the back of that baseball card is typically who you really are, throughout your career. So, probably next season, Bryce Harper won't go through this crap. So, you're saying this season, you're hoping this season, maybe you get a couple hundred, 100 million off of that initial thought process of Bryce Harper is going to probably be worth maybe 250, 300 million, which you may be saying, okay, I'll pay that rather than 400, 500.
Let's be realistic. These $200 million baseball contracts, we haven't seen one that's really worked out yet. Not to say that.
Yeah.
We haven't seen one that's worked out yet. One of these extremely astronomical. Well,
Giancarlo Stanton, depending on what's working out. Like, I guess that's my thing. Like, A-Rod's always been a solid player, even with contract. He's been an amazing player.
But how many times has he produced a championship?
We're talking about championships. Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Because you're investing in one player. I totally agree. If you're investing in one player, it takes away from putting that money into starting pitching or relievers or additional
hitters. Those contracts add to pressure. Pujols wasn't the same after he received
his
big deal. Prince Fielder didn't even seem the same after he received a big contract.
No, he wasn't.
But I think on every aspect of what we're discussing here, you know, his mental psyche, what the team wants to do spending wise, I think Juan Soto plays a big role.
Oh, yeah.
Here's why. The writers in DC are not like, let Bryce walk. We got a dynamic young player who can hit at the plate. So we don't necessarily need Bryce. And we can save money while we keep, you know, another dynamic hitter. I think Bryce seeing his success, that's also messing with him. So yeah. I think Juan Soto's playing a role in this.
You think that there's some, I'm not going to say envy.
Yeah, I wouldn't say envy.
I think it's
just
a little bit of what you, like Will T said, like when Will T said, it's a little bit of two things. The contract and you got Soto. Like you look at, when you see Soto, you're seeing a kid it's an outfielder, and the Nationals have a plethora of talented outfielders, right? You're looking at this kid and you're saying, oh, he looks like me when I was a rookie in terms of like pretty much hyping the fan base. Now, and I'm struggling, I'm on a contract year. Mm-hmm. Oh, I got to get my game up because I got to make sure my money's right so they won't say, hey, Soto's balling. We don't need Bryce anymore. You know what I mean? So
I think that's going to come into play. I really do. And you're human. The only guy, I swear, that I've seen take watching another man's success, I guess in a positive way, if I'm saying it right, to me is like Carson Wentz. To me, he seemed like he was genuinely happy watching the Eagles win the Super Bowl. Versus Drew Bledsoe wasn't happy when Tom Brady took his position. And he never got it back. That's the thing. And look at Tom Brady now. Tom Brady's a daggone rock star. It's like Tom Brady's battling Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick created that man.
And oh, look at Brady.
Have you heard Drew Bledsoe's name in a while? He's probably on a reality show somewhere.
Look at Brady and Garoppolo. Like, that's in terms of reports. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you even though that's your teammate and you have to cheer for that guy, you may even be cool with him. Mm-hmm. In the back of your mind, you got to be like, man, look at this dude. And it's a contract year. You can either let Harper walk or you can offer him less. And the team won't think twice about it when you know you got a young star that's up and coming.
Then you also have Victor Robles.
That's what I'm saying. There's a plethora of young talent on the outfielders.
You don't need Harper.
I mean,
Wally proposed that last week. We didn't really go in depth about it, but me and you, we was having a text conversation, and you stated that maybe the best thing for the Nets to do is, as we become closer to the trading deadline, if you know in your heart that you're not willing to offer him 200
or
maybe 250 million, maybe it's best that you start early and you just say, hey, let's get rid of Bryce Harper.
Why even
let's
waste go time? With, why
let's,
let him
let's
walk?
Build this thing around Juan Soto, and then when Victor Robles gets healthy later on in the year.
Wow. This is funny. I'm okay with that. Before the season started, stacked. I probably would have been like, nah, let's wait. But now it's like, go ahead, let's
just
do
stack. Because like the Nats aren't a bad team. Like they're a very good team, even without Bryce. You got to pay Rendon. Then and truth be told, Daniel Murphy's a free agent at the next season anyway. So do you want to keep Daniel Murphy? There's a lot of things that you
he's
may want to do.
If you ask me.
Or you may want
the most consistent. He's been their best hitter since he's
even
been.
I saw it was on Twitter, and we talked about it before, and you were you were saying that like you wouldn't do it, but there's other folks that like it was on Twitter saying, why not go after and get Manny Machado, pay him, move Trey Turner to second base. You get Manny a shortstop. So now your infielders Rendon, Machado, Turner. And whoever's your first, you can have Adams at first.
Machado's always been more consistent.
You know what I mean? Like, so now you're, it's probably going to be cheaper to pay Machado compared to Bryce in terms of, because Bryce has marketability than me. It's like, it's a lot. With
Bryce has kind of a superstar persona. Yeah, exactly. About him. You know, he has Under Armour, he has corporations behind
him. Exactly.
Where Manny Machado is far more, I'm not going to say isolated, but he isn't marketed
like
as
Baltimore.
Yeah. Let's keep 100.
He is Baltimore.
It is. So,
but let me ask you this, Ray. You stated that before the season, you would say, no, you wouldn't want to make that trade, right? Do the struggles of the Nets thus far this year and the way that the Braves are playing at a high level, does that have anything to your thinking about a potential trade for Bryce Harper?
No, because before the season, we all agreed that the division would be better from top to bottom. I even thought the Mets were going to be.
Yeah,
I mean, not the Mets.
That.
I'm sorry.
I did think
the Mets were going to be better.
I was wrong about the Mets. I'm not going to lie about that.
Wally got some tweets about the Mets back then. I really wanted to take. But I honestly thought the Mets were going to be better. I'm not saying they were going to be first place. I didn't think they were going to nosedive so quickly either.
Me either.
But we all thought, and we thought Philly was going to be better. The Braves are surprising.
They're surprising.
I'll be real. I thought the Phillies were going to be the ones that, and the Phillies are right there. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But I thought they were going to be the ones that were really going to challenge the Nats this year. So. Nah, I'm just thinking, to be honest, Juan Soto. I thought Juan Soto would be in Double A somewhere right now. I didn't think he was going to be in the majors yet. Yeah. And to see what he's doing is like, okay, you know what? Let Bryce walk. Let's save some money. And then you can still build, continue to add pitching. Why not?
And Ryan Sullivan from Nats GM, who's a regular on the show. No, but he said this because he scouted Soto and said the scouts, Soto's the real deal. Like, this is not a fluke. Like, what he's doing, he's the real deal. And he's been hitting like this forever.
He's already showing it. I think you don't lose no sleep if Bryce walks. I like what Wally said. Get some value for him. And you can get a lot for him.
All right. Well,
it'd be dope if we made a blog about that and got that out there. That'd be dope.
Yeah, man. You going to write it?
Nope.
Hey, we'll dive back and talk about the NBA draft after the break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You
dig? Deuces.
I'm a young money millionaire, tougher than Nigerian hair. My criteria compared to your career just isn't fair. I'm a venereal disease, like a menstrual bleed through the pencil and leak on the sheet of the tablet in my mind. Cause I don't write, cause I ain't got time. For my second minutes, hours go to the almighty dollar in the almighty power of that chopper. Sister, brother, son, daughter, father, motherfucker, copper, got the Maserati dancing on the bridge.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally here with Will T and Ray. The NBA draft was last Thursday. In your opinion, who was the biggest winners and losers? Who was the winner and the loser of the draft? Put it that way.
It's always tough to answer.
That's what you do.
I got my thoughts.
It's always tough to answer these questions because you never know how these guys are planning to pan out. But if I'm just looking at the first round, I think there are two winners to me. Boston Celtics were getting Robert Williams, mm-hmm. and the Denver Nuggets were getting Michael Porter Jr. If you know, we don't know how his back is going to play out, but a guy who was the number one player in his high school class,
they got a steal.
Yeah, they potentially got a steal.
I thought the Sixers should have got him. I thought to myself, like, why not? Like, you're used to redshirting rookies.
Yeah, I mean, but it would have created the dynamic where it's one ball and you have Fultz, Porter, then you have Ben Simmons who has to have the ball in his hands, then you have Joel Embiid. So, I mean, maybe they didn't do bad either with getting Zaire Smith, you know, flipping Mikal Bridges for Zaire Smith. Yeah. And then and I think they also got a number.
Did they?
I'm not sure. They might have sent a number one, or they got a number one. I'm not mistaken.
Is this DC? Can I make a DC reference real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Remember when the Redskins drafted Robert Griffin III and they took Kirk Cousins? Remember that?
Yeah.
Now, one panned out, one didn't. So our shop, Kirk Cousins, the backup, is the one that worked out, correct?
Right.
Well, the Mavericks, last year, they drafted one of my favorite guys, Dennis Smith Jr. And this year, the Dallas Mavericks drafted in the second round Jalen Brunson as a backup point guard.
Oh, they got Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
Oh, I like Jalen Brunson.
Exactly.
He should not have been the second round pick, though.
Now, he, unlike the number one pick, which we've seen historically, has great college success on his resume, two national championships. Mm-hmm. And he's shown that he can shoot the rock, too. Dennis Smith Jr., who's dynamic, he's almost like Westbrook. If he didn't get injured, man, just imagine what he would look like. I think that's a great fit for him to go in and back up Dennis Smith. I think he also will come off the bench to a team that's rebuilding and play carefree. The expectations are high for the team. He has good leadership qualities based on what he did in college, played for excellent coach and Jay Wright. I just love the pick. For that reason, I think the Dallas Mavericks are up there as far as winners go.
Then they get Dallas got the kid from
Luka Doncic.
Now see,
how you say his name?
Luka Doncic.
Right.
Doncic.
Now Doncic. There were quote unquote experts that thought he should have went number one.
See, I don't know
what I'm saying? So you think that even adds to what I'm saying? That's why Dallas was pretty thorough.
Thought Rubio was the next Jason Kidd. I mean, it is what it is.
But Rubio wasn't as bad as what people thought.
No, I like Rubio. I like Rubio. And I like yourself. No, I like Rubio.
Did you always like Rubio?
No, I thought Rubio wasn't going to be as good as everybody else said he was going to be.
Because he played overseas.
Yeah.
When you win championships overseas, that's a whole nother story. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
as opposed to like Brandon Jennings, who averaged 3 points.
No, I'm saying everybody.
And he's a top 10.
It's hard for me to say that. Like, he's going to be like that. I've never seen him.
That is always your problem. You always are so... You give a scathing review to guys you haven't seen.
I don't feel
and
like...
And you learn from Antonio Daniels.
I didn't say he was... I learned from that.
You watch highlights, you're like, oh,
I learned from that. That's real talk. I learned from that.
You're very cautious.
I'm very cautious.
You didn't like Bradley Beal because you didn't watch Porter at the time.
You're darn right. You're so correct. I'm not
going to... so many guys. Shall I go on? LaMarcus Aldridge. Oh man, I don't think he's that guy.
I didn't say he was bad. I just said I don't know anything about him.
I'm honest. I swear we might have that on tape.
We probably don't. But nah, I didn't think Trey Young was gonna get drafted that early. I didn't. But I can see why Atlanta drafted him. I don't have an issue with it. I kind of like that pick. I think Atlanta is a winner because that's gonna bring money. That's gonna bring fans to, you know, to the arena because you're gonna see Trae Young. It's like nowadays, it's like Atlanta back in the 80s and in the early 90s. Dominique Wilkins, was the guy who attracted the crowd because he dunked the basketball. He was a highlight reel. Nowadays, because of like a Steph Curry, the three ball is the most exciting thing now in basketball, and Trae Young can light it up. We've seen it in college, how he can shoot the three ball from like Steph range. He's a guy who passes the ball. He needs to get a little bigger, and also he also needs to chill out on his turnovers. But he's a guy that can bring excitement to Atlanta.
I agree. My other winner though is the Lakers, Mo Wagner. People don't know Wagner as a Laker fan. he's bringing more athleticism at that big spot. I think it's an excellent pickup. Magic Johnson can walk if he don't pick up whoever he thinks he's supposed to get or acquire this offseason. But you bring this young guy to build amongst this young core that hopefully if I can compare them to somebody like OKC when they drafted, they drafted Harden, they drafted Westbrook, they drafted Durant.
All MVPs.
That's crazy, bro.
Philly's trying to do the same thing. You know, if these guys continue to develop the way they had, I'm talking Ball, Ingram and
Kuzma.
Yeah. You add Wagner to the mix. That looks really good, especially when you don't know what Randall's future is going to be with the team. I love the pick.
George agrees with you, Ray. Said about the Mavericks.
My man.
The Mavericks are the biggest winners. He said Atlanta's the biggest loser. Atlanta's the biggest loser.
I'm telling you, man. The show is missing the element without me, George, isn't it?
Shut up. And Troy,
look at Will. He's mad over there.
Troy Perry on Facebook has the 76ers as the biggest winners.
What?
And Sacramento is the biggest losers. I thought Sacramento's pick was okay. I thought that's the best fit.
They had a really good draft last year, so
yeah. I mean,
they're trying to build among their young.
Yeah, people. What people fail to realize is they have Sacramento. They redshirted the top high school. Harry Giles Jr.
Giles is a beast.
So if you get Giles, if Giles Jr. and then you have Marvin Bagley the third.
Yeah, the third.
If you get those two guys playing, you got a nice young front court.
Yeah, then you got
along with Buddy Hill and De'Aaron Fox.
I don't know about Buddy Hill though. I don't like Buddy Hill though.
And they got Justin Jackson.
I like Justin Jackson.
The Kings, but I don't think the Kings are going to be good.
No, it's all about having a young, exciting team.
That's the most important thing.
Even in three to four years, I don't think they're going to be good.
I mean, that roster as a constructor, I still am not going to buy a ticket
to go see that team. I'm sorry. I'm being serious.
No, I'm saying if you have an exciting, I mean, it's all about right now, it's about Mark, because no one, the West is hard. You know what I mean? So as long as you have a team that you can market, you can have Fox. If you market having De'Aaron Fox, Bagley, Giles,
Justin Jackson, Hill.
If you market that,
you remember what the Clippers,
even Pauly Stein. You know what I mean? You market that, you can say, okay, you know what? We got ballers. They're young. They got an opportunity. You know what I mean? You can bring people to your arena off of those young kids alone.
Remember what the Clippers did to get Doc Rivers? They traded for him.
Yeah.
I would do the same with Brad Stevens. That's the only person that could take that roster and do something amazing with it. Because if Terry Stotts can win in Portland with that current group, why can't a coach like Brad Stevens win? I would pay him Bryce Harper money because he's that good, I think.
I think the Celtics with Uncle Drew can survive without him.
I think the Celtics with Uncle Drew can survive without him.
Oh, they can't survive without Brad Stevens. They can't. No, Brad. Not, no.
Nah, you bring in Roger.
To do what?
To win Roger. I mean,
to Roger.
You know what I'm talking about, though. It's Van Gundy. You bring in Van Gundy. I actually really was saying Ron Jeremy. I'm being serious. I wasn't trying to make a joke. You bring in Van Gundy to be the Celtics coach, and they'll be fine. I would pay $150 million for Brad Stevens, and then that young group would take off, and they would finish top 10. I mean, top five in the West. Easily.
East. What?
In the West.
And Brad Stevens?
And Brad Stevens goes to Sacramento.
What would happen to Dallas?
Utah.
I mean, it's Dallas. What would happen to Boston?
They would ask Stan Van Gundy.
No, what would they be in the East?
They would still be top three. Look at their roster.
No, they wouldn't. Not with Stan Van Gundy. He'll mess that up. Just like freaking, what's his name? Tibbs messed up Minnesota already.
That's a whole nother discussion. and Tyus Jones was about to request a trade.
He sat down with Tibbs to request a trade.
And Tibbs actually like, nah. He said, nah. He said, I'm going to play you this season because Jamal Crawford's leaving. Trust me.
Tyus. Really? He's requesting trades now?
Tyus Jones feels like he's got a lot to bring to the you're high.
I'm just saying, I was high on him to be a decent point guard, but not to request trades.
I'm rocking now, with Tyus Jones' hairdo right now, so I got to show love to him.
Hey, will Redskins Tyus Jones rehab?
Trey Young, Tyus Jones thing going on right
best
season.
Now. That's a light-skinned thing. We'll discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Saint.
The ages.
You Austin dick. Rivers.
If you wanted to, these expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cutting off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money move. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now, speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss, you a worker, bitch, I make bloody move. Now she say, she gon' do what or who? Let's find out and see. Cardi B, you know where I'm at, you know where I be. You run the club, just to party, I'm there, I get paid a fee. I be in and out them bands so much, I know they tired of me. Honestly, don't give a f*** about who in front of me. Drop 2 mixtapes in 6 months, we're breaking as hard as me. I don't bother with these, don't let these bother me. They see pictures, they say goals, bitch, I'm who they tryna be. Look, I might just chill in some babe, I might just chill with your boo, I might just spill on your babe. My f*** feel like a lake, he wanna swim with his face. I'm like, okay, okay. I let him get what he want. He buy me Yves Saint Laurent and the new whip. When I go fast as a horse, I got the trunk in the front. I'm the hottest in the street. No, you probably heard of me. Got a bag and fix my teeth. Hope you know it ain't cheap. And I pay my mama bills. I ain't got no time to chill. Think these chicks be mad at me. They baby father wanna build. Say, little you can fuck with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cutting off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money move. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now, speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss, you a worker, bitch, I make bloody moves. You a goofy, you get popped, you a goofy, you a op. Don't you come around my way, you can't hang around my block. And I just check my account, turns out I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. I put my hand above my hip, I bet you dip, she dip, she dip. I get the money and go. This is high like a stove. My glitter is gold. Tell that little bitch say her roll. I just don't roll with no rolls. I just came up in a rave. I need to fill up the tank. No, I need to fill up the safe. I need to let all these know they none of them none of the safe. I go to dinner and steak. Only the real can relate. I used to live in the peace. Now it's the crib with a gay. Rolly got charms. The life was the place.
Wait, we're talking about political, about votes and whatnot. You listen to early courts. But Wally, Will, Ray T.
Hey man, we talking local
that's
politics.
That's what I said. I was giving
which is important.
It's very important. Rock the vote. They rock still do that vote. Campaign.
Sharon Pratt Pierce.
Do they still do that campaign?
You dirty. You dirty.
Nobody know what I'm talking about. You dirty.
Nobody know what I'm talking about.
Hey, what's going on? Overtime with the Urban Sports Scene.
It is overtime. It's overtime with the Urban Sports Scene.
Go on a little later tonight.
Subscribe.
It's okay.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
That's just an inside joke. Don't nobody know what I'm talking about.
Make sure you rate us and listen. I'm sorry. You rate us. Leave us a comment. Leave us a comment, man. Rate us again, man. Rate us. Hey, Redskins quarterback Addison Smith has a knack to bring the best out of tight ends. Do you think Jordan Reed will be on that list of tight ends he kind of promotes up?
I mean, if he's healthy. Mm-hmm. If he's healthy. Look, we've seen what Jordan Reed can do if he plays 13 to, you know, if he's played at least 13 games a season. The guy's a perennial Pro Bowl tight end, a matchup problem who makes everything easier for all the other receivers and makes it easy for his quarterback too, because he, you know, now he doesn't physically dominate the middle of the field, Jordan Reed, but he gets open against linebackers and safeties.
Yeah,
to be honest with you, this question flat out invoked fear in me, because the tight end position has been a position that's thrived under Alex Smith, but then the receivers don't.
That's a very good point.
You need the secret weapon, as we call him,
Josh Dobson,
to have a better season.
For
the fan base and for the owner, because when's the last time the Redskins have had a really good receiver that they drafted?
Oh, they drafted.
Deshaun Jackson's a good, but that they drafted.
The best receiver they've drafted, would that that'd probably have to be that's Michael Westbrook.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, for real talk.
All he did was punch Stephen Davis. That's the best thing he did.
If you want to keep it a buck, yeah, Michael Westbrook. Look at anybody they drafted. He had 1,000 yards. He had 1,000 yard season with Albert Connell.
He had
the best. No, you're asking me.
He's not going to the Ring of Fame, but you did answer the question. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, he's not going to Ring of Fame. No one said he's going to.
That says a lot.
A subliminal shot at me. I know he's not.
You trying to back up the point?
No, I'm just saying that he was decent. He had a decent year. So I'm saying he had a decent year. That's all I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
A decent year.
I'm agreeing with you, Ray. I think we're losing. I
understand. I'm just saying, but that's my point. Like, you were hoping that this guy would evolve into a receiver that can go up and catch the football like a Larry Fitzgerald type guy. And he has the ability. But if Alex Smith is the quarterback and you're saying that Jordan Reed is going to have a career year like Kelsey, what happened to guys that were playing alongside Kelsey? Macklin got traded, didn't he?
Tyreek Hill ball.
He was let go. Tyreek Hill.
Wilson was okay.
Albert Wilson was good. Albert Wilson was a rare talent to me, but you know what? Thank you. That's a good point.
I'm just saying, like, to me,
Tyreek Hill was good.
What matters is your quarterback plays well and your team wins. If it's Jordan Reed is the guy that he goes to, then that's fine. I mean, Jordan Reed for this team is their best pass catching player. Let's not put wide receiver or any position on it. He's the best pass catching player on the team.
Jordan Reed?
Yeah.
I agree.
Give you that. Yeah. So if you go to your best player.
He's the most
proven. He's the most proven. I think that's
more. Crowder's right up there.
Because Jameson Crowder.
Crowder's right up there.
Well, but Crowder had with 1 year.
He don't show superstar potential. He's solid though.
He's that 360 plus catch season.
He had last year was his second. Was it second year?
No. Last year wasn't the second.
No, I won the second year last year.
This year was his third year.
This will be his fourth year coming up.
Yeah,
right?
This past was his third year. And I think all 3 years he's
looking it up. Look at him. Everything right there. He can't be wrong.
I think he's had 360 plus. Oh, man, I'm messing up now. 60 plus catch years.
You're really not messing up.
Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in. Lex Thomas.
I gotta look this up. I'm here trying to look it up.
Look this up and then let's go.
I'm looking at it right now.
So this will be year four?
Yeah, this will be his fourth year coming up.
We already know this. You only have to look it up.
I'm trying to look at stats.
I know what I'm talking about. That's George. You know what I'm saying?
Shut up. But no, I think that to me, Joy Reed's the guy that you'll feature anyway. He's the best talented pass catcher
you have on the team.
I think but to your point, I do think Jameson Crowder is a player that also that can flourish.
Rob Gardner was pretty good, by the way.
Alex Smith, he was like 900 yards. Yeah, I mean, that's
that one year.
You know what? They're about the same.
I think he's better than Westbrook.
They're about the same. But no, to your point though, yeah.
Can't the Redskins draft a good receiver, man?
No, I think Crowder.
That's next week. That's next week's topic.
That should be a topic. That's how come they haven't been able to draft all these good receivers that come up? And the Redskins never get
one. That should be next week's topic.
Why is that?
I agree with that. That should definitely be next week's
topic. Now you know we're stretching for content.
We said this last week. You gotta stretch. I mean, if you look at Alex Smith, if you look at the players that Alex Smith is, you know, the tight ends he's played with, Kelsey, he's put up seasons where he had like a 1,100 yards.
You got Vernon Davis already back on the roster.
Vernon Davis put up, you know, had his best years under Alex Smith. So to me, if you look at what Alex Smith brings to the table for like a 4A Jordan Reed, he's going to be targeted. And Jordan Reed is a great route runner. He's going to get open. He's a guy that Alex Smith will look at.
I don't care if Jordan Reed has a good season or not, to be honest, because I as a football fan in general, want to see the Redskins running game return to what it was in my childhood, which was the Hall, Ernest Byner.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the thing is, Jordan Reed is not the best daggone blocker.
That's the problem. That's what he's going
to
have to fix.
So take him off the field if you have to, because with Alex Smith being able to extend the play or get out the pocket, whatever, stretch play, whatever you want to call him, because he's so athletic, I think he's going to help the running game. Jordan Reed may not.
Jordan Reed is going to have to get better as a run blocker. That's a guarantee. He's going to have to get better. Obviously, he's a tight end who only cares about being a pass catching tight end. But in terms of being one of the better tight ends in the NFL, you see it with Gronk,
Shannon Sharpe.
You saw it with you saw it with Vernon Davis when he was in San Francisco. Kelsey, Kelsey in Kansas City.
Ben White,
even a guy that I think is slow as dirt and retired. Jason Witten was a great blocking tight end.
He was a wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know about great, but wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, he was in big arms.
Some people saying he's a Hall of Famer.
Who? Jason Witten?
Oh, he is.
Yeah, he is. Because he's a Dallas Cowboy. That's the reason why he's a Hall of Famer. You said first ballot? Are we talking first ballot?
No, Hall of Famer in general.
Oh, I think he's a Hall of Famer. Because he's up there in tight end stats.
Oh, he's easy.
He was never, it's funny because he was never the best tight end in any era, right?
No. Never.
Yeah, that's the thing that gets
me. Anquan Boldin wasn't the fastest, but he got open and he caught a lot of balls.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Anquan Boldin is.
I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. I think he should.
Third, fourth ballot, maybe. But he'll get in.
I think he should go to the Hall of Fame.
I hope he does make the Hall of Fame.
I think he should.
I think he should. Fitz.
Oh, Fitz is a guaranteed first ballot.
Yeah, Fitz is first ballot.
Yeah, he's first ballot.
So Anquan Boldin might be second or third ballot.
Yeah, because Fitz, if you look at what Fitz stats are at the moment, yeah, he's first ballot, like, easily. Calvin Johnson may still make the Hall of Fame.
So am I. I'm going to go into the Broadcast Hall of Fame and still. That's how I'm going to close it
And up. Still, my man. Anyway, about to wrap the show up. So, you want to close out? You want to do it again? And still? That's how I ruined that crap for you. Did that on purpose, too. I'm a spiteful, hateful individual.
Wow.
Hey, Will T. I'm about to say this. We've been doing... you want to end the show out?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He usually does a pregame. You got mixed up on that one.
No, I just want to thank everybody for, anyone who's listened to us. Sometimes. George,
See?
Appreciate it. Thank all the guests. Troy. Want to thank Ed Frankovich for joining us and, regular guys, sports fans like everyone else who doesn't think that sports is being represented and reported the right way in the DMV. So we started on podcasts.
We've been doing this like this now for a little bit, right? So you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages.
You dig?
Deuces. Hey, Mac, leave us out, big homie.
And still.